It's a hard year. And God has blessed, and we're looking forward to a good report. We always come up, or come down, I guess. I'm down. We come down on a one-way ticket because last time, 5 years ago, I booked a return ticket. And then things went pear-shaped. So now we just come, we always come down on a one-way, and then we book a ticket along about Wednesday when we find out that everything's good, then we'll book a ticket and go home, God willing. Now, yeah, we had a little bit of a problem on Friday the 13th in March. Yeah, I don't know whether that's it. Anybody superstitious about Friday the 13th? No. No, I'm not. I got engaged on Friday the 13th in 1960, whatever, something. A long time ago. But this wild woman came to town, Cyclone Pam, with winds over 350 kilometers an hour, and just blew the town to pieces. Some of you have been in windstorms. Others have grown up in Tornado Alley. A tropical cyclone, they say Category 5. That means the barometer went down to about 7. I thought mine was busted. It went down to 770. That's really low. My ears popped. The wind blew water through my 8-inch block house. Not through the windows or through the roof, through the cement walls. Flooded the house. We swept water in the church, in our home, for about 2 days. Because it just keep coming out of the, it's coming out of the brickwork. People really face a hard time. Fort Vila is recovering. The church and the school. Lord willing, we'll put the final coat of paint on the church next week, the workmen will. The roof at the school is repaired. Textbooks are drying out. And because of the offering that you took, and the money came immediately. And you don't know what a blessing. That was a real blessing. In our economy, here, if something happens, you go to the shop and replace it. You go to the grocery store and you buy your groceries. Our community, even though it's a city and you've been there, we have some stores. The stores lost their roofs, okay? So the goods inside were not saleable. People lost their gardens. That means for a couple of weeks they could eat what was left, and then they were hungry. And because of what you did, we've distributed about a metric ton of rice and 10 fish and sugar and flour. And that's with the money you guys sent. That's a blessing, not just to our church folk, but to those in other islands that also suffered. If you've watched the internet, those who are on Facebook with me, you see we lost who was, you know, my really big tree. Well, it's gone. It was 3 meters in diameter. We've cut away at it. I have a plat placed on top of the trunk that's 5 meters long and 2 meters wide, and we're still not halfway through the trunk. So, yeah. There's still a lot to do. And the wood we're getting out of that tree we're building houses with. Or somebody's building a house with it. Right now it's laying out behind the church under tarpaulins drying so it doesn't. So we build straight houses instead of crooked ones. If you'd open your Bibles with me, we're going to talk about faith this morning. We're going to read a passage in Mark chapter 5. And then we're going to ask some questions. Mark Mark chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 25. It says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she'd heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched thee?' And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege you give me to come and present your word. Father, I ask that each in this congregation would have an open heart and a willing heart to hear what you say. Work in this message and through it, and we'll thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Mankind is divided into just two categories: those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior and those who do not. Lost, saved, believers or unbelievers, however you want to describe it. There's no in-between place. God's people, those who believe, their lives should be characterized by faith. The prophet Habakkuk many, many, many years ago said, "And the just shall live by faith." Paul repeats that statement in the book of Romans. That is the operating principle of the Christian life. God's people, we live by faith. And Pastor Ken read in Hebrews, you know, faith. That's the essence of all we are. This morning, I think it's a big topic, okay? And this message comes out of a whole series that I developed for our church on, you know, great words from the New Testament. You have faith, and you have redemption, and you have regeneration and all these things. But to say, I'm going to preach about faith. How many hours do I have? Okay? So we're just going to talk about saving faith. Philippian jailer summed it up in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 when he asked Paul, "What must I do to be saved? What can I do?" That's the question of questions. I get it asked of me as a missionary. What must I do? People ask that question, and it depends on who they ask as to what kind of answer they get. Vanuatu is a wonderful place to minister, a challenging place to minister. Someone comes and asks the guy with the little white beanie on his head, and there are a lot of them now, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer they're going to receive is much different than the answer I might give them or you might give them. They're going to give them a couple of different simple statements about Allah and say, "There, now you're a Muslim. Repeat after me." And that's not the answer that Paul gives the Philippian jailer. He says, "What must I do?" He says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's the simple answer to the greatest question that mankind has in his own life. God has made provision for that over and over again. We are told Jesus Christ died in our place. The simple gospel, if you'd hold your hand in Mark and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the simple gospel is summarized very, very simply in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." God the Father accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ and made a way for salvation. We read the story in Mark chapter 5 about this lady who was ill. She heard that Jesus was coming. She made a decision to go and see him. She made another decision to reach out and touch him. Those things, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he can and he is willing and able to save. What does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to do that? It means putting your whole confidence, all your trust in the person of Jesus Christ and in his work, what he has done for you. Not saying, "All right, now, the guys that walk around 2x2 with their little black briefcases, they're all over Vanuatu. If you pick a cult or an ism or a, you know, they're all there." And they were there in droves after the cyclone. All with arms full of things, saying, "If you'll accept this stuff, and along with this stuff, if you'll accept our belief system, you're okay. What must I do to be saved?" Now, when people are hungry, they don't have any clothes, they're pretty easy targets for things. And that's why when we say thank you, God enabled us not to join the throng of giving stuff away, but to have the resources to say, "Look, we're giving this to you in Jesus' name." And when we handed out rice and fish and those things that you enabled us to do, we put labels on it all. Now, if you've ever been in a disaster area, that's what the UN does. I mean, if they hand out a little packet of protein biscuits, it's going to have UNDP on it. I probably will never give another dollar to any of the big NGOs, ever. And that includes the Red Cross. And now, but that's, if you want to know why, come see me. I'm not going to preach about it. Faith saves. He says, trust. That's what the Philippians, he asked the question, what do I do? Paul says, believe. Not intellectually, but with your whole heart. And in order to do that, there are three steps that take place. The lady in Mark chapter 5, she heard that Jesus was coming. Romans chapter 10 says, ask the question, how shall they believe except they hear? Before I can believe the gospel, I must hear it. Now, I didn't grow up in a highly religious environment. My folks took me to church. They saw that I was baptized, saw to it. They belonged to a church that taught them that all they had to do was go through the water, and that saved them. And so when I was 12 years old, they sent me to classes, catechized me, that, all right, here, this, and this, sign off on that. Now we baptize you in Jesus' name, that washes your sins away, and you're okay. That was at age 12. And at age 23, I heard the gospel, really heard the gospel for the first time. Because somehow my dear loving wife had gotten involved in an independent Baptist church. Because she needed work. So she went to school at Lanakila Baptist Schools in Waipahu, Hawaii, and drugged me along before I was being deployed to Vietnam. And I heard this long, wild Texan fella move back and forth across the... He sweat and spit and made a lot of noise and made me feel really, really bad. But for the first time, I heard that what I had been holding on to as my salvation, as my relationship, wasn't good enough. I heard how Jesus died for my sins according to the Scriptures, how He was buried, and on the third day He arose, and that baptism and all the rest of the things I had been taught as a child really had nothing to do with salvation. I heard how that Christ was able and willing to save me. I heard that He was willing to do so. And that brought me to the second step. And unfortunately, that's where an awful lot of people stop. He brought me to the place where, yeah, I believe that's true. And maybe some of you here are right there. You've heard the gospel. And some in my congregation in Vanuatu, they come every week and they hear the gospel. And I'll talk to them after the service. They'll hold their hands up and tell me they need to get saved. That they believe that Jesus can and is willing to save them. And that's all. That's not enough. Okay? Not enough to put their hand in the air and say, yes, I believe about Him. I believe He died for me. I believe that if I will trust Him, He'll save me. But until they do, they can believe, yes, He will. They can believe, they can give that intellectual assent that, yes, God Almighty can and wants to save me. Now, that lady that we read about, she heard, she came, she believed. Is it all right? She heard Him. She believed in her heart, if I will but touch Him, I'll be made whole. And that's moving to trust. Okay? That third step is, I hear, I believe, now I must do something about it. I must trust. And there's a whole lot of folk who move through the first two. Oh, yep. And they stop right there. And that simply isn't enough. You can know all about Him. You can believe He has the power to do so. But until you're willing to reach out and touch Him, that's not salvation. trusting excludes all the effort on your part. It relies wholly on all that God has done for you. You know, when, as a 12-year-old boy, I stood in that Disciples of Christ church. I went into the baptistry. Yeah, I believed that He could save me, that He wanted to save me. But I also believed that it was the water that was going to do the work. I was wrong. And so for the next 10 years, I lived my life just how I wanted to. Nothing much changed. And then I heard, and I came to that place where, yes, I believe. And at that point, I was pretty angry about all the stuff I'd been told. So, now what if I'm wrong this time? And so I went off, gave my wife a hug, shook the pastor's hand, and said, "I'm being deployed. Thank you for your message." Have you ever smiled at the pastor and thanked him for a message that just really burned your hide? That's lying. Okay. So I smiled at him and told him how much I'd enjoyed being there, and I didn't enjoy being there at all. And he knew it. Pastors do. Told me he'd pray for me, that he'd write me, and he did. The congregation did. My wife did. She even got her mother involved in all of that. And through that instrumentality, I moved from hearing and believing to, yeah, I can't do anything about this. There's only one thing I can do, and that's trust Him with all that I am. That's hard for human beings because we want to hold on to some volitional thing that we can do. You can't participate in your salvation at all. God does it all. That's why we call Him sovereign, because He's king. Those three incidents, and we're just going to look at three quick. Yeah, I will be finished on time, Pastor, I promise. Pastor Ken looked at this message and said, "It'll take me an hour to preach it." And I said, "No, I can preach it in 20 minutes. I probably told him a story. There are three incidents, really, that we've looked at. The first one, that woman heard. She came because she believed that Jesus could do something for her. And she reached out and touched Him and was healed. And Acts chapter 8, and we won't take time to read all of these. Acts chapter 8 is the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. The eunuch heard about Christ as he's reading a passage in Isaiah. The Holy Spirit of God brings Philip alongside and asks him a question. "Do you understand what you're reading? Do you know what this means?" And he explained to him the message that we call the gospel. And the man believed. And then he trusted Jesus as his own Savior. Because he asked Philip, says, "Here's water. What hindereth me to be baptized?" And he says, "Nothing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, as your Savior?" "Yes." Plus nothing, minus nothing. And now we're back to the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. He took those three steps. He heard the message. I don't think he could help but hear the message. This is where Paul and Silas are singing in the jail, praising God. And perhaps the jailer is banging on the bars saying, "Will you guys just be quiet?" The ground shakes, and it's a wake-up call for the jailer saying, "Okay, Paul, what do I do? I've heard this." And he believed. And followed that belief with the confessions. Yeah. He trusts. His changed life demonstrated his trust in Jesus Christ. And God changes people when he saves them. If he doesn't change them, he didn't save them. It's just that simple. Salvation, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That means that manner of life of the old man is finished. That we don't hang on to a lifestyle that we were comfortable with. We allow God to change it and give us a new one. But two simple illustrations. I don't know why I chose money, because missionaries don't have any. But suppose, we can't say, did you win lotto, because you better not be playing. Suppose you received a really big inheritance, and your best friend, as a financial advisor, says, "Go put it in this bank. You can really trust these guys." "Yeah, I'll do that." So you're trusting what you've heard, and you commit your fortune to that bank. You've made that decision, and you've made that commitment. You put it all in that hand. In 2010, our family doctor diagnosed Lynn with cancer. And we asked her for a recommendation. How do we, this is not good news. If it were you, who would you go to? And she gave us the name of the surgeon in Takapuna. We're going to see her tomorrow. If you go to her, she's the best there is, in my opinion. Doctors are hesitant to do that, I've noticed. But if you believe them, they rarely tell you a story. And so we trusted. We exercised faith in the word of our family doctor and went and put Lynn's life in those hands. We asked the surgeon then, "Okay, you've done all you can do. Now what about the therapy that's to follow? Who should we go to?" And he gave us another name. She did. And we trusted him. We talked to him. All right? When you start that interview, they bring you in. And say, "All right, here." And I'll never forget this question. He says, "Do you want me to tell you the truth, or do you want me to lie to you?" That's what the oncologist asked us. "Well, tell us the truth." Okay? Don't, because some folk don't want to hear the truth. Just as some folk really don't want to hear the truth about the gospel. They want to hear that church membership, or baptism, or good works, or that they can have some kind of a spiritual experience, and that is enough. Well, the truth is, Jesus Christ died to save sinners, of whom I am chief, and if I am chief, so are you. Okay? That's the truth. And if you trust Him, it'll all work out. And we trusted. She went through the treatment. We put her life in the hands of somebody else. And what God the Father is asking you to do is put your life, your eternity, in the hands of His Son. And if you put your life in the hands of His Son, He won't let you down. He promises to all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept that gift, He promises everlasting life. He promises an abundant life. To believe on Jesus Christ is to come to Him. Okay? He comes to us, but you have to come to Him. Just as that lady in Mark had to reach out her hand and touch Him. Okay? To come to Jesus Christ, to believe on Him, is to come and accept what He has for you. He says to come and receive. Okay? I'll often, with little ones, take a dollar coin, 100 baht coin, and lay it on the table. Or I'll wrap a present and put it out here on the altar and say, "All right, here. Do you all believe that I've give that to you?" And because I give them candy all the time, of course they believe that I'll give it to them. All right, now, if you really believe that that's yours, come up and get it. And most of them won't. Okay? There's one or two who will always come because they know there's something good in it. But God asks us, we look at that gift that says eternal life. Come pick it up. Come receive it. Yeah, it's mine. The Bible says it's mine. Nah, it'll be there the next time. Well, yes, it will be, as long as you have strength, intellect, or ability to claim it, and you're not guaranteed any of those things. Romans chapter 10 asks us to call on Him. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is to call on Him and ask Him to save you. Now, this is an early service. We've all got up early to come. But perhaps you're here this morning and you've moved through those first two steps. Yes, you know. You've heard the gospel. You understand it. You know what He's done for you. You believe what He's done for you. But that's as far as it's gone. You've never placed your entire trust in Him. You've never placed your life in His hands and said, "God, I'm yours. Please save me for Jesus' sake." Because all you have to do is ask. And if you will, He'll do what the Word of God says He will do. He will save you. He will change you. He will give you a life that is full of joy and abundance. But you have to move past hearing. You haven't have to move past believing. You have to reach out your hand and receive what He has for you. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, please. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you who are high and you're holy, you have the ability to look into the heart of each one of us. You know who is a part of your family. You know who has exercised saving faith in your Son and who has not. Father, I pray especially for those who have not, that if they be in our midst this morning, that during this time of invitation that you would work on them, that they would reach out and receive what you've done for them. And we'll thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, will you come?
Please keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a moment. And this is our time to respond to the message that we've heard. The time between you and the Lord. Three simple things. The first is you must hear the gospel. We must hear. You are in a church, brothers, sisters. You are in a church that proclaims and preaches the gospel of Christ all the time. You are in a church where people are urged to put their faith and trust in Jesus. That is a blessing. Maybe you're here and you've not put your faith and trust in Jesus. You must hear the gospel. The second is believe. Believe whom the Bible says that Jesus is. Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God. But you must go beyond just believing in who Jesus is. Take that step of trust. Trust Him with your salvation. Trust Him with your life. Trust Him with eternity. Have you done that? Christian, take a moment to thank the Lord for His great salvation. There was a time when you heard the gospel. You had faith, you believed, but then you put your trust in Him to save you, to forgive you. Is there anybody here who might be uncertain about that? Uncertain about their own salvation? Uncertain if they've ever come to that faith in Jesus. Is there anybody here like that? If you're uncertain about your salvation, you can be certain today. You've heard what Jesus has done. Now we invite you to respond to it, to put your complete trust in it. Is there anybody who would say, I'm not sure if I've ever come to faith in Jesus. I'm not sure if my sins are forgiven. If that's you, would you quietly, without anyone else looking, just let it be known by slipping your hand up. I'm not going to embarrass you, or I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you that God would give you the courage to follow Him, to step out and trust. Anybody here like that? Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not sure if I've ever come to faith in Jesus, but I am concerned about that. I'm not sure. Father in heaven, I pray for any, Lord, who may be uncertain about their own salvation or have been stuck at just believing, perhaps believing that Jesus can save them or even wants to, but maybe their trust is in other things, in their actions or in their going to church or their baptism or their catechism class that they've had somewhere. But Father, I pray that you would show them that is not enough. They can't put their trust in these things they do. They must put their trust in what you have done for them. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Father, your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take a seat for just a moment now. And thank you, Brother Steve, for the message on faith this morning. We have a few announcements before you head out and before we have some fellowship time. So, Brother Mike, would you please come?